Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Monday, January the 12th, 2026. Hey, I got the year right. 16 minutes past the hour, and I am back this Monday morning. And I do want to thank Matt Morgan for filling in on Friday night on very short notice for a big three-hour broadcast. You know, very few times in the history of this station, the 12-year history of this station, have I not been able to show up for a broadcast. Maybe two or three times in the history of this station. And Friday was a very weird day. I thought I would be back here with no problem, and I got tied up in something. And the longer the day went, I kept thinking, okay, I still should be able to make it. I still should be able to make it. And then it got a little after 7 o'clock, about 7:30 on Friday night, and I realized I'm not going to be able to make it. And I sent Matt a message, and he said he would do it, and he did 3 hours, and I got to listen to a little bit of it in between what I was doing, and I think he did a great job. So I thank Matt for doing that, and I heard a lot of you calling in saying Matt did a great job. So thanks to Matt, and thanks to all of you for listening, and I'm sorry I wasn't here on Friday, but I don't think you needed me. And I did hear somebody call in on Friday who said, you know, Scott can just retire now, and Matt could take this whole thing over. So maybe retirement isn't too far off in the future, but it's good to be back here on Monday morning. Now, what to talk about? Well, you know, the weekend's the weekend, and tonight's city council. Mondays are always an interesting day around here to talk about what's going to go on at city council tonight. Now, I should mention, if you are going to go to city council tonight, there is going to be a special meeting at 5:30. Now, the regular city council meeting will start at 6:30. This is the first full city council meeting with the new council members, the three new council members that we have. So that's interesting in and of itself, that the first new council will meet fully tonight at 6:30. But probably more interesting will be this meeting at 5:30. Now, I've been thinking about this. Now the meeting at 5:30 is the meeting in which the finance committee last week wanted the auditor and the mayor's office to present a plan of how the city is going to fix their financial problems. That's what's going to happen at 5:30. Now, here's what I don't understand. We had a big spiel last week. And by the way, I'm not saying they shouldn't present a plan, because maybe we do need some kind of presentation of a plan. But here's what I don't understand. Last week, we had this big spiel about from Twyla Lang, the head of the Finance Committee, which was the auditor's elected, the mayor's elected, and the city council are elected. We have to stay in our own lanes. So frankly, I don't know how somebody else who's in their lane can tell somebody else in their lane that they have to give a presentation at a special city council meeting. I actually don't think you can do that. And if the auditor didn't want to show up to that meeting, I don't think she has to. Now, they can do another no confidence vote, and they can do whatever they want. And by the way, the mayor, I don't think, has to show up to that either. But, you know, that would seem to me to be getting a little bit out of your lane. Now, I don't know if that's just me, but telling another elected official that they have to give a presentation, you know, this is not a group coming to city council for money. This is another elected official. Now, telling them that they need to give a presentation, I don't really understand. And I'm not really under, I don't quite understand. Well, if anybody understands it, they can call me. 740-383-9944. I know city council members and the mayor and other people listen to this show from time to time. So, no, I don't understand that. And I'm not even sure why they would be obligated to do that tonight, or why they would be obligated to attend. To be honest with you, if it was me and somebody ordered me in 7 days to present in front of a group of people a plan, you know, I don't know. If I'm an elected official of the people, I don't know that I would do it. Can you imagine Congress telling our president, President Trump, that you have 1 week to do a presentation and you better show up and do it? I mean, essentially, that's the same thing that's going on here. The president's elected, Congress is elected. You're not supposed to tell another elected official what to do. Now, you can suggest that they do it. You can invite them to do it. I don't know how you can order them to do it. And then if they don't show up, I don't even know how you could have a problem with that, because I'm not even sure you're allowed to order them to do it anyway. But again, I am not a legal analyst and I'm not a financial expert, but that seems to be a very weird thing to do. And I'm also not sure why they wouldn't want them, why the Finance Committee would not want the auditor to give that presentation to full counsel that will be meeting an hour later. Wouldn't the full counsel want to hear what the auditor's plan is? To me, this all just seems very, very weird. And I think they're grasping at straws, because clearly the city's in financial trouble. No secret there anymore. So I just don't know what they're doing. I think they know they're in trouble. I think they know that the auditor of state is involved in what's going on in Marion. And I think they're just, for lack of a better term, grasping at straws at this particular point. What would this meeting do? Okay, the auditor gets up and presents a plan of how she is going to try to fix the payroll system in the in Marion. Okay, well, first of all, presenting a plan doesn't mean that's going to get it done. And number two, I really don't understand. Why don't you just have her do it? You know, try to work on this. Don't spend your time working on a presentation. Get in there and try to fix it. Spend your time doing that. I don't know. Does anybody else understand what I'm saying this morning? 740-383-9944. All right, go ahead, caller.
Sean, how the heck are you?
I am fine this morning, but a little baffled about what's going to happen tonight.
Well, I'm a little behind schedule this morning. I swear, you go on vacation and you miss a week of life and things just don't ever quite get back to normal.
It's hard to catch up after the holidays.
It really is, and just, yeah, I mean, just everything seems to be everywhere no matter how hard I try. But while everybody was arguing over the people protesting the woman getting shot in the face this weekend, I mean, I don't know if you
saw. Oh, God, how about that?
Thousands of comments. I didn't even bother reading them. I mean, what's the point? Who cares?
Well, yeah, but can I just, let me, I'm, you brought that up.
Oh,
I want to
no,
just.
No, please. But there's an article that everyone was ignoring that has to do with what you're talking about. But yes, I'd love to hear what your take
yeah.
is on that.
Well, here's, and I did not go to, I didn't even pass by it, but the pictures, I saw. Now, if you don't know, apparently people got together at the Harding Memorial and they were protesting.
It was very impromptu.
Impromptu. And they were protesting the Minnesota woman being shot by the ICE agent.
Okay. Her name is Renee Good.
Right. So this is what happened on Saturday. Now, from the pictures that I saw, and I guess pictures can be deceiving, it doesn't
there
look...
There weren't many people in
weren't
the
weren't many people.
I talked to people that were there, and it grew. As you've been to the No Kings thing, it tends to grow towards the middle, and, you know, it's a little thin early, busts up in the middle, and it thins out towards the end. My understanding is, all in all, there were about 40 people there throughout
the day. Okay, I'll believe that. 40 people were there.
Throughout 2 hours.
Right.
Throughout 2 hours, there were about 40 people that came and went.
So
that's my understanding.
I guess my confusion is I see
that
this
picture. How that warrants 1.2.
Yes. Why does a protest of 40 people warrant over 1,000 more than anything I've seen posted on the Marian Stars website since Abby, the new reporter, came 2 years ago?
Years.
Yeah.
I think years.
Years. Well, why?
Fear. But while everybody was commenting on that article, and I don't understand why other people care what people do for 2 hours on a Saturday. Like, if you want to sit all day Sunday or Saturday and watch football from 8 a.m. until midnight and drink until you pass out, I would not recommend it. But if that's what you want to do, I do not care. Now, I wish you were more involved in the things that were going on in the world and in your community and things like that, but how you choose to spend your leisure time is none of my business. The only reason I would care is if it scared me.
Yeah, yeah.
So that has to be the reason why these people are so, I mean, to the point, thousands of comments.
But the other thing about it is that I didn't read too many of those comments, but what I couldn't quite coalesce after reading just a couple of them, it doesn't even seem like they're arguing the point of should the ICE agent have done it. They're arguing.
They're stupid. They need to get jobs.
Yeah, why are they protesting?
They get welfare. They don't have, I mean, just it had absolutely nothing to do with the woman being shot in the face by ICE agents. But that's my point, is everyone was arguing about that, and in the meantime, there was an article in the newspaper about what's going to happen tonight.
Oh, what did that, what was the headline on that one?
I actually read it and thought of you, because the headline was, City Admin to Share Recovery Plan, but no clear plan from auditor. So that ADP conversation that they're supposed to be having tonight actually turned into the plan that we're presenting to the auditor of the state of Ohio.
Well, when did that happen?
Well, Abby wrote this story January 10th. And like I said, while everybody was arguing about 40 people standing on a corner with homemade posters, this was going on. And this is the part that made me think of you. Because the first, I'm going to read a little bit of it. I paid for it. Shit.
Yeah, go. If you paid for it, go ahead.
I paid for it. Marion Public and City Council will get a first look at I don't have my glasses on, so bear with me. At the city's financial recovery plan to address the fiscal caution designation. This is the part that made me think of Scott Spears. Mayor Bill Collins and City Councilman Twyla Lang, second ward, which is wrong, confirmed that at least the mayor's administration will present its plan to address one of the four bullet points outlined by the auditor of state. The other three bullet points are being addressed by the auditor's office and city auditor, Miranda McGinnis. We pretty much have all of ours done, and we're yet to see anything from her to address three bullet points that only she can address through her office, Collins said January 6th. McGinnis did not respond to requests for a comment on her plan or if she plans to present it to city council on January 12th. The problem the mayor's office will address pertains to the deficit fund balances, which amount to almost $8.9 million. Begin reducing the deficit, Collins said the administration cut its general fund budget by $5 million, left positions unfilled, and has begun searching for more revenue sources. It's basically about us showing that we're well aware that we need to save money. We need to spend only what we bring in, Collins said. The auditor's office has been tasked with three bullet points. Qualified opinions on 11 funds from the 2021 audit, significant deficiencies, material weakness, and direct and material noncompliance with Ohio law in the 2020 and 2021 audits, and the lack of reconciliation since 2019. No matter how hard we try or how much work we do, Collins said, if she doesn't do her part, it's all for naught, because the state will not accept a recovery plan that don't have her answers in there that are logical, attainable steps to get where she needs. The recovery plan in its entirety is due to Ohio Auditor of State on January 23rd. If the city doesn't submit a complete plan or the state rejects the city's plan, which could place the city into fiscal watch or emergency. The result would allow the state to oversee the city's financial decisions and processes. Collins said McGinnis has attended some of the meetings about the recovery plan, but Lang, chair of the finance committee, said she's heard very little from McGinnis about the plan. It's kind of hard to come up with a complete plan without having some input from the auditor's office, Lang said. Marion City Council will meet at 6:30 p.m. Monday, January 12th. A special finance committee meeting will be held at 5:30 p.m.
So what about all those people who think this meeting at 5:30 is about the payroll system?
Surprise!
See, here's what I don't get. Okay, now...
That's a lot bigger than a payroll system, don't you think?
Well, it is, but that is what drove calling that meeting.
Yes.
So for people, for these city employees who I think might show up at 5:30 because their payroll is not correct, that's not even one of the bullet points that the mayor is saying he wants to hear from her.
Well, and in theory, she doesn't have to present it. They've just decided to do this, and it sounds like they might be using their preparation. Well, and wait, did you get the whole part about Silo Lang saying that the administration has a stuff done?
And God bless her. Again, I have given Abby a lot of credit recently at the Marion Star for some of the reporting she's done. But she needs to ask those people, what do they mean we, and why is the head of, and Aaron Rollins, by the way, too. Aaron Rollins, why don't you turn to your right and ask Twyla Lang, why is she working with the administration as a city council, independent city council person, and head of the finance committee? Why is she working hand in hand with the administration to craft plans? Is he in on these meetings? Is he invited?
Sounds like a whole lot of sunshine law violations, or at least pushing it real close, if not violating them, outright violating them. And, of course, Mark Russell's just going to stand around and be like, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Of course you don't.
Well, I don't, you know what, and listen, I've seen what they've done with the laws down there recently, and they're playing a little fast and loose with that. But just out of being an elected council person, and I think Aaron Rollins has stepped up in the last few months. I think he was the sole no vote on the quarterly budget passing. So why doesn't Aaron, and listen, I understand he's got no love loss for the auditor. I got that. And he's entitled to that.
That doesn't mean you don't do the right thing.
No, why doesn't he turn to her and say, why are you having meetings with the mayor?
You could want to shoot daggers out your eyeballs at her. That doesn't alleviate you from doing the right thing.
I don't understand this.
Be there for us, then stand up for us to them. You're good for 2 years unless you're afraid of them. Is that what it comes down to?
Well, all I'm saying...
Then you shouldn't have ran for council.
Well,
I thought I was right. I wasn't sure, but somebody just messaged me. And in that special meeting that they called tonight, they're only allowed to discuss the payroll issues. I wasn't positive, and I hadn't had time to look it up. But when you call a special meeting, it can only be for the topic that you called a special meeting.
Essentially, the article in the paper's a lie.
Well, no, that might be what they think they're talking about, because they still don't know open meetings acts and things like that. I thought that if it was a special meeting, it had to be for that topic.
Right, but so I mean, not because Abby's mistake, but because of what they told her.
I doubt Abby knows all the sunshine laws, because it's pretty nuanced.
The media, and maybe me too, I don't know, we're falling down, council is falling down on the job, and the media is falling down on the job, because when you have the head, not just another council member, which would be a little shaky to begin with, when you have the head of the finance committee working hand in hand with the mayor to craft a plan without other members of the finance committee or council being in on those meetings, and trashing the auditor to the media, why is nobody asking why this isn't a problem?
Sean Spears, I believe that you are a member of the media and that you are allowed to ask that question.
Well, it's coming to that point because, you know, frankly, I'm getting a little tired of why
the
these people.
Of Miranda, that's what I'm tired of, because I did read in that article that she is working with the state, and she is not required to tell us what she's doing right now. I feel like we'll find out. I feel that there. I'll make my seventh grade English teacher proud. I feel that they are going to use this tonight as another way to bash her and say, look, we got our work done. She doesn't have her work done. She won't talk to us. Now, it says in the newspaper that she's working with the auditor of the state of Ohio, and she even said in those meetings that she's having meetings with them every week.
Well, I guess my...
Miranda is meeting with the auditor of the state of Ohio.
Which she said last week.
She said she's meeting with them weekly. I heard her say it.
Right, so
and
I guess
if
what...
she's meeting with them, then she doesn't need to answer to Bill Collins or Twyla Lyons.
I don't know.
To the higher authority.
I don't know how in the world, because Mayor Schertzer said it 50,000 times on this show, the mayor is not the boss of the auditor. So I don't know how the mayor or council can tell the audit, or finance committee, it's not even council. I don't know how finance committee or the mayor can tell the auditor she has to give a presentation.
No, they can't. And realistically, maybe if they had fostered a better working relationship with her January 1st, 2024, they wouldn't feel so frustrated January, whatever today is, 2026. And they fully admitted they excluded her from things. They fully admitted that they went behind her back and did things that affected her office. They did things publicly that affected her office, the payroll system that they forced upon her. So why in the world would she want to go sit in a room with people that have done nothing but disparage her publicly and privately and let them do it all day long when she's working with the state of Ohio? I would rather deal with the state of Ohio. I'm sure that doesn't sit and talk shit to her. Now, I'm sure they're, truthful and transparent. They don't sugarcoat anything, but I doubt they're nasty about it.
I mean, Aaron Rollins, and again, I give Aaron a lot of credit. I think he has done some against-the-grain things in the last 6 months that have been very important to the city of Marion. So I don't understand why he doesn't sit up and say, well, Mayor, you know what? I want a presentation on the 10% that was cut from every department that you keep saying, and I would also like you to show me where all layoffs were voluntary and that it wasn't that ultimatums were given to people that we're going to cut your hours from 40 hours to 10 hours, which would cause anybody to quit their job.
We don't have anyone left to do that for us, unfortunately.
Well, apparently you can get the mayor to give presentations, because if you can get the auditor to give presentations, an elected official, city council should be able to get the mayor to give presentations.
Well, that was Mark Russell's idea, so that was a whole nother elected official's idea.
Get on it, Mark.
that was Mark Russell's idea.
Yeah, well.
So, like I said, while people weren't paying attention and making thousands of comments, worried about what other people were doing on their Saturdays.
Well, it just...
Running the auditor through the mud and everything else.
Well, it's just starting to be very strange down there. And like I said, I think more than not, Mark Russell has tried to give his best advice. But I don't know where that came from last week. And I don't know how he feels. Now, they can suggest that the auditor give a presentation. But I don't know how they can force her.
I wouldn't even show up tonight.
I don't understand that.
I would work with if I were her, I would work exclusively with the auditor of state. She has three of those four bullet points. Now, this is my scuttlebutt. This is my perspective on it. She has three of the four bullet points. They can only control one. So theirs is done and shiny and pretty and it's ready to go. But they want to see what hers looks like. We need to know what yours looks like. And they probably wanted some input on it, too. And they're not getting any input on it, and it's scaring them because, I mean, if Miranda can't get the information for those three bullet points done, we're going to fiscal watch. That's automatic.
Why doesn't she just...
They won't approve our plan, and if we don't have all the bullet points done, they won't approve our plan. And there's a chance that she just flat out can't do it because of the information. Yeah, I mean, because they're talking about addressing all the mistakes that Landon made in 20 and 21. How could she do that in 60 days when we couldn't do it in over 2 years And I mean, let's just apply just logic. How could she address all of the, you heard what I said about the misstatement of, or, oh, let's just, I've got still got the article up right here. She has been tasked with qualified opinions on the 11 funds from the 2021 audit. Now that's $8.9 million. She needs to explain that and how we're not going to ever do that again. So she needs to explain how we're not going to overspend $8.9 million. She needs to address the significant deficiencies, material weaknesses, and direct and material noncompliance with Ohio law. Direct and material compliance with Ohio law. Now, that was the 20 and 21 audits. That's when Landon was in office. How can she address how he did not comply with state law for 2 years in 60 days? Plus, talk about the 11 funds that were $8.9 million in deficit in 60 days. And then the material weaknesses. Now, that has to do with, like, your internal policies. If it starts at point A, you need to detail how it gets to point Z, and it needs to be written down so if someone else comes in and does that job, in theory, they would be able to pull out a book, and it would walk. It's called an operating procedures manual. You would be able to go step by step by step. Now, she needs to have done that for all the mistakes that were made from 2020 to 2021. Do you think she could do all that in 60 days?
I don't know how.
Plus ADP. Plus, it's the end of the year. We're technically in the new year, but as far as payroll goes, it's the end of the year, so you're talking W-2s. Those are legally required to be out by the end of the year. Legally required is in by the IRS. If not, you'll get a penalty for each one that's not out on time. So I believe they might be pooping their pants a little, that there's no chance that she could get all of that done and that the state is definitely coming in. And then every penny will be scrutinized and every piece of fat will be slashed.
Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand. The mayor and the budget director work on the same floor with the auditor. Why don't we hear the mayor say, you know what? I feel the auditor is overwhelmed. I've sent out emails behind her back to figure out that she's not doing what she needs to be done. So I have offered Chelsea, who used to work in that office, to go down there and help her get this ready, because we're in a world of hurt.
Chelsea was the one being trained in ADP before she was poached and sent down to the mayor's office. She was the ADP, the first ADP trainee. One of the first, I guess I should say. But Miranda, I don't believe, was in from the beginning because she wasn't going to have to do the job from the beginning. So now she's trying to backtrack. So what I honestly believe that they're afraid that the state is coming in, which I believe now that the state will be here sooner rather than later, because there's no way. If Miranda were superwoman, I believe it would still be difficult for her to get all of those things done.
Well, I just don't get it. I don't get clearly. I don't know how you order somebody to do something who's an elected official. Again, you can suggest them to do it. And I don't also quite get why the head of the finance committee is working so closely with the mayor, but cannot seem to show up when the auditor's in the office. Now, it's always strange to me that she shows up on the day she's not there. Does she ever call ahead?
Do you think maybe that somebody might say, hey, she left for such and such, why don't you stop up now because she's not here?
Well, I just don't get
sabotage or something.
You know, when I'm going to go see somebody for an interview or something, I send them a message or I call ahead to make sure they're going to be there.
Okay, I don't go see people at all, but if I should find myself inclined to do so, I would definitely make sure it was prearranged before I went, like I do before I go to the doctor. And if by some stretch of the imagination I randomly showed up somewhere and someone wasn't there, I wouldn't be mad about it.
Well, it's just very confusing. And
no, I don't think it's confusing. I think it's pretty obvious and deliberate at this point. They're trying to continue to bully Miranda. There's Ayers and Jason are gone. She's the only one left in the room. and it's her turn. And, you know, I wanted to bring up another point pretty quickly just because I haven't had time to fire off the email. They were talking about the liquor license and Ray Ray's and it being a year late. Like, it should have been filed a year ago, but it never was. And now they're probably just, it was for actually serving alcohol, not beer. Do you remember that conversation?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Ray Ray's was serving alcohol the whole time they were open without a license then.
Well, there
I
you go.
I went there and had a wine and vodka-based sangria. I took a picture of it because it was so good. I can't remember. It was like $3 wine or something like that. But it was a sangria drink. And they were serving liquor without a license is what that means.
Well,
so, like, they don't even investigate these things. They're just like, oh, it's a year past due. Oh, well, there might be some technicality or something there. I don't know. Just go ahead and pass it on.
Well, while we're talking about things here, the article in the Star, I mean, it's kind of hard to ignore it because it got so much attention about the protest this past Saturday. Now that I'm sure you have seen camera angles and I'm sure you've seen pundits talking about it, and it's no longer the day after and it's 5 days after.
You know, I didn't even read. I started, when I first saw it, someone had shared it and it had like 200 comments, 200 and some. So I clicked it open to just briefly scroll, and I was like, whatever, I've got better things to do with my time. And when I went back to the Marion Star later is actually when I noticed the article that I just read you, because it was buried underneath the 1.2 thousand comments. You know, I mean, it got bumped down based on the algorithm. But that's when I noticed 1.2 thousand. I was like, my goodness. And then you know how they post it and then, like, post it 12 hours later? So, like, if they post it in their story, the Star posts it in the morning, then they'll also post it in the evening. Or if they post it in the evening, then they'll also post it the next morning.
Right.
So they get, like, dual usage out of it. The second time they posted it, it had over 600 comments.
Well, this goes to my point again. And I've been trying to say this, and no, that's not true. National politics, state politics, are more important to people on the local level than local politics now. It didn't always used to be that case, but it is. And that right there should be a crystal clear example of that. That is an absolute national issue that is getting 100 times the coverage that the local story is. And the local story's there. It's just people don't want to read it. They don't care about the local story.
Exactly. But that local story will affect our lives a whole lot more quick. Well, God, I shouldn't say that because an American just got shot in the face. On a day-to-day basis, that local story will affect our lives more.
Well, yes, and that's the problem with local elections. They do affect us personally more on a local level, but something has happened in the last 10 years to where there is
Donald
just...
Donald Trump has happened in the last 10
well,
years.
Well, he has.
Go ahead and blurt it out.
Well, but I honestly, that's some of it, but there are also elections for gubernatorial races that do the exact same thing. I'm sure...
You said elections. I told my son, I showed him the 1.2 thousand comments, and I said, how many of those assholes you think got up and voted in the last election where only 3,000 people voted?
Well, right, but I...
Anyway, but you know what I mean? How many of those people do you think go and vote on school levies and things like that when those are just the special elections and the only thing on the ballot?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's really matter and affect our lives.
It's from the top down. And that's just exactly what it is right now. And I don't understand why it's that way, but it's been that way for about 10 years now. And if you look at the top of the ticket, whether it's the gubernatorial race or it's the presidential race or it's a Senate race, whatever it is, you can go to Marion County and you will find that that party's candidates win by within 2% of the votes that the state political party candidates win. And they are not paying attention to the local candidates. They're paying attention to what letter is behind their name as with what the national and state politician has behind their name.
But you know, ironically, you said that, and I just read a story this morning about Ohio's declining population and how we will have lost, I think it's 7 to 10% by 2050. I can't remember, but we'll move from number 7 most populous, so number 9 most populous state. And that's a pretty significant loss of population. And I was reading, it wasn't a news source that I'd ever heard of, so somebody couldn't say that. It was a more of a local area newspaper, not a Marion Star, a slightly bigger town. I looked up the town, but I can't remember. But they were talking about how the state of Ohio has been strongly ruled by Republicans for the last decade, and they had given out more than $1 billion in tax incentives to primarily the wealthy and corporations to bring jobs here, and the jobs aren't coming to fruition, and people are leaving.
Well,
my son and I were talking. I'm not going to blame it all on Republicans, because my son and I were talking about decorum and things like that, because I have conversations like this with a 16-year-old. And I told him, I said, you know, it's not even just Trump. I said, we go back to when Obama was president. And I said, I think a lot of it started then, because I told him about the time during the State of the Union where the guy yelled, "You lie." I said, that up until that State of the Union, but that was unheard of. I said, you may have absolutely despised someone in their policy, but you didn't call them names publicly. You didn't argue with them, because you had to work with them, because they did actually sort of get stuff done back then.
Well, you know, this was an interesting insight to me this past weekend. I ran into a couple who said, we love your show. Now, they live in Delaware. And I said, well, I certainly appreciate it. And I guess they're pretty steady listeners. If they're out there listening right now, hello. Good morning. I'm glad you're out there with us. But
what's our neighbors from to the south? Right?
Yeah. But what's interesting to me is that they said that they wish Delaware had something like this show that covers local issues. Now, to say that, I also want to say this. One of the things we do on this show, we'll do topics like we're doing right now, and we do try to cover the local stories, but we also have people like Jim Renacci, Amy Acton, Vivek Ramaswamy.
You do all kinds of, and Sam Donaldson. Yeah, you do all kinds of stuff.
Right, and actually, when I was talking with them, the interview that they quoted was not a local interview, it was the Jim Renacci interview that happened a couple weeks ago. So I think that's what a lot of people miss. Now, is local news important? Well, of course it is, and you've got to have local outlets that do that. But I don't think you can do completely local news and expect to get outside a very, very, very core audience, and that Marion Star article should show that.
Right. But the state stuff is important, too. I mean, the national stuff is important, obviously, but it takes a lot longer to trickle down because actually, my son and I were, I can't remember, some act that's coming to Ohio, and we were reading about it, and then we looked it up, and it was part of something that Obama passed in his last term, and it's just now trickling down to us, to this area. You know what I mean? Like, it was a gajillion dollars that was allocated, but you know how slowly the government moves, and now some of the money's making it this way. But yeah, so national stuff does affect us, but state stuff is very important. The issue with the local right now is where we find ourselves in such, I mean, you wouldn't be talking about local news if we weren't in fiscal caution, possibly moving up to fiscal watch soon.
No,
if
but
we had audits for the last 5 years, you wouldn't be talking about this sort of stuff regularly.
No, but and also there is a big problem going on. Like Friday morning, we had Stephen Wolf on, who's the new Republican running for the 86th District.
I listened to about half of that, and then I had something else I had
right.
to do.
But you know, now that is a perspective that I think people need to hear, and that obviously is a very localized story. But what I am seeing with local media outlets, and I'm sorry, the only one that I consider legitimate other than us right now is the Marion Star.
Yeah, Star. Mm-hmm.
So, but the problem is, do they ever talk to the other people? I mean, I
think that Abby might be getting emailed too, because it doesn't seem as if she's getting direct statements from them, but I'm not positive about that.
Well, I'm just curious because I saw this article on her over the weekend where I guess she's going to be having local office hours at the Remnant once a week.
I saw her Friday. I walked up there and got a coffee and some they have, you know, just a little plug for the Remnant, since I'm known as such this horrible person that hates everything about Marion. The Remnant is a gem, and they have, now they have Walnut Creek and Boar's Head items, and they have all kinds of bulk, like grains and seasonings and spices and clean laundry detergent and body wash and exotic coffees and regular coffees and espresso. I'm talking about beans in addition to their cafe. They have jams and jellies and all sorts of fun stuff. So I walked up there Friday and actually saw her.
Well, I guess what I don't understand is I'm having open office hours I didn't get that deep into it, 1 or 2 hours a week, and this is where it'll be. Okay. Well, as a reporter, I really don't understand that, because I've never known a Marion Star reporter or a broadcast, WMRN, this station, anybody else, to ever say, we're just going to sit somewhere one day a week and wait for people to show up and tell us stories. Now,
it's kind of good for her to build that rapport with the community, because, like, you have it because you've been around so long. Paul James has it because he's been around so long. You know, I mean, all these people in the past had been around so long that they had street cred amongst the folks. So maybe this is a way for her to get her face out there and be more approachable, and people can put a name to the face.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not saying it's good or bad. It is unusual. How's that?
But well, no, and if it was, I just want to meet community people and tell you who I am, I'm good with that. You know, PR is always a good thing, but
yeah,
what
I... At least she was tucked back in the corner on her laptop, and, you know, I just gave her a wave because I knew who she was, but I didn't know that's what she was there for. I thought she might have been Zooming or something.
Well, the article, and again, I don't pay past the pay windows, but the article seemed to be as if, I'm going to be here, come meet me, and it just seemed as if, you know, tell me a story, and I'll see if that's something we want to get involved in, because I don't know why else she would be having office hours. Because, see, if you had office, like, I mean, obviously, I work out of an office, and obviously, I have met people here. Usually, if there's a story that I'm interested in that I want to have a conversation with about off the air before we go on the air, I'll say, meet me. I set when we're going to have that meeting. And I wouldn't know why her situation wouldn't be similar, where she would say, hey, you know, meet me at the Remnant at Friday at 3, and we can discuss the story that I'm interested in.
And when I met her, that's what we did. We had a prearranged time. We were at Connect Co-Works, so I imagine there's a cost associated with that, whereas the Remnant, there's not. What that kind of made me think of is back in the day when you would be able to walk into the Marion Star and walk up to the desk and be like, I've got something I want to report, sort of thing, you know?
Right, and if that's it, that's good. And if it's just a publicity thing, I'm all on board with that, because the more people who know your face and the more people who know what you're doing, that helps you get stories. So I'm okay with that part of it.
People can walk up to her, and as strange as it may sound, you can walk up to someone that you don't know and tell them something and remain anonymous. You know what I mean? I didn't give you a name or anything like that. I don't think she's going to do facial recognition on people. So if you didn't want to send an email or a Facebook message or leave a telephone number, you could walk up to her and be like, hey, there's got a puppy mill on the north side of town, and here's the address, and just walk away.
Right.
She's not going to snap a photo of you or anything like that.
Right, and maybe that's it, and I don't know. It just seemed, maybe it was just the shock of never seeing an article quite like that.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's establishing a free physical presence in town, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's because the Marion Star has no office, and I guess that's the best way to do it, and, you know, maybe it is.
Hey, their coffee is good. If I could get people to come see me at the Remnant and possibly even buy me coffee, that would be better.
Well, and maybe it's good for the Remnant as well. I'm just afraid that people are going to show. See, here's what I don't get, though. Like, okay, if it's open office hours, and let's say I'm Aaron Rollins, and I show up to take advantage of this, and then while I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, Twyla Lang walks in because she wants to have this as well. You know, it just kind of seems a little awkward. And now, are you going to have to wait till this person's done talking, or what do you do?
I think those people would probably get priority, and they wouldn't have to show up at the Remnant.
Right. So is it just basically for the absolute local people who don't know how to reach a Star reporter?
Yes, and I wanted to get this in really quickly. The Remnant is just, like, bustling with downtown during the week. like your downtown businesses running in, you'll see a lot of the owners running in, grabbing a coffee, a baked good. But I mean, it's a pretty active place for a coffee shop. And I've seen a lot of chamber people and stuff like that in there when I've been in there. So, you know, maybe it's just a way to insert herself kind of into that environment as well.
Well, and that's good, because I still consider them the legitimate media. And as I said, she's the one who broke the story on the county commissioners passing that budget. So I give her all the credit in the world.
Good job, Addie.
There you go.
Talk to you later,
Hey,
Sears.
Thanks for calling. We'll be back after this.
To 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Do you think he needed